In our series from the Sermon on the Mount, remember Jesus said, whoever hears these things of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. All right. Over there in the Mediterranean Sea, there's an island, you know it by the name of Crete, that island is called by the Greeks Makarios. And that's the very word that's translated blessed in your New Testament. So we've got an island out there by the name of Blessed. The reason they named Crete Makarios is because they thought it had everything on it that was needed to sustain life. In other words, it was self-contained. Enough vegetation, enough food, enough grain, enough everything was on that island. Enough water to sustain life. And not only did they have enough for themselves, they also had enough to be able to export. And so they named that island in the Greek, Blessing. Now, we've been reading these Beatitudes, and I'd like to just remind you that every one of them began with this same word, Makarios, blessed. Because it gives us some idea of what the word means. It means a lot more than happy. And there are some who translated that word as happy. But it means having everything you need. Everything. Having everything you need spiritually and being blessed. So Jesus gave us these Beatitudes. You know, those are attitudes that ought to be. And what they deal with is Christian character. I remember somebody saying one day, character doesn't count. Oh, yes, it does. I'm telling you it counts. You see, your reputation is what other people think about you. But your character is what God and your wife know about you. Amen? Amen. Now, this is dealing with character. It's not what we have. It's not what we do. But it's what we are that Jesus is talking about. Now, we're all going to die sometime or other, some sooner than we think. But you see, when you do die, you're going to leave everything you have and everything you've done behind. It's not going to go with you. All you're going to take with you is what you are. Amen? Amen. So character is extremely important, and that's the reason that it's more important for you and me to seek after blessedness than it is happiness. Well, most of the world, I think, is trying to find happiness. Everybody wants to be happy, but it seems a strange thing, but those who seem to seek for happiness the most find it the least. Isn't that strange? People who are on a search for happiness generally are the most unhappy folk in the world. Because you see, happiness is not something you find by looking for it. Happiness is something that you stumble over when you're seeking blessedness. Now, you seek happiness and it never comes to you, but you get right with God and blessedness will find you. As a matter of fact, He'll run you over with blessedness. And this is what Christ is talking about here in these Beatitudes. He's talking about blessedness. So let's listen to it one more time. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And what I'm going to talk to you about today, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wait a minute, Pastor, you talked about that one last week. Well, Lord said do it again, so I'm going to do it again, okay? A little more detail this time. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, you talk about an inheritance. What are we going to inherit? The whole earth, you know? Man, that's an inheritance. I don't know if you ever heard it or not, but there used to be a program called The Search for Missing Heirs. Am I the only one that ever paid attention to that? You know, well, somebody would die, and they'd leave a whole lot of money, and then they wouldn't know who to give it to. And so the thing was built around the search for the missing heir. You know, you just might be that missing heir today, the one who's going to inherit the earth, and yet you don't even know about it. So maybe you'll hear your name called. Blessed is so-and-so, and are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What is this beatitude? Well, I want to talk to you with this title, The Mighty Meek. Sounds like an oxymoron to me, doesn't it to you? Mighty Meek. If there's one thing in the world that it will not call blessed, is meekness. I mean, we just don't think that meekness is a blessing at all. Most of the people of the world would say, well, blessed are the folks who are really strong, you know, the muscle guys. Blessed are the folks who have a lot of brains. Blessed are folks who have a lot of money. Blessed are any kind of people except those who are meek. Because we think of meekness as weakness. The Bible says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So maybe we ought to find out what meekness is. To tell you what it is, first of all, I have to tell you what it's not. Okay? It's certainly not weakness. I mean, just write that down. If you think that meekness is weakness, I challenge you to try to be meek for a whole week and see how far you get. Just give that a shot. You'll find out that meekness is not weakness. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, excuse me, I'm sorry, and learn of me, for I am lowly in heart. Yeah, we're going to have some water this morning for some reason. I know what it was. I didn't drink my usual two cups of coffee. Somebody fell down on the job. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly of heart. Now, you know, Jesus was not a weak person at all. Jesus was a man of man's. It took a real man to go out in the wilderness and not have any food or water and live among the wild animals for 40 days and 40 nights. There's not many of us guys that take that on here today. Am I right? We wouldn't want any part of that. So Jesus wasn't weak. You know, get you a thank you so much. I love you. Get you a picture of Jesus going in the temple. And I'm not talking about three or four tables. I'm talking about this thing was loaded with money changers and what have you. And making a whip out of cords. And driving all those guys away from their money and away from their tables. Do you think that he was weak? Do you? Jesus said, foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man does not have anywhere to lay his head. You seen those pictures they painted of Jesus? Make him look like he just stepped out of a beauty parlor? Those things make me ill. I don't think they're even close to what Jesus' physical appearance was like. He was a strong man who said, I am meek and lowly of heart. Put it down. Meekness is not weakness. In his day, the Bible says that Moses was the meekest of all men. Now, I guarantee you, Moses was not a wimp. He had a temper, didn't he? Sometimes it got him in trouble. But he was a general who led the new nation of Israel out of Egypt. You can't be a wimp and do that. So Meekness is not weakness. What is it? Not cowardice. You know, you got the picture of the little milquetoast guy that's standing around with his hat in his hand like this, and he won't even look up off the ground. Well, get that out of your mind, because that's certainly not what meekness is. Let me tell you, the word literally means yielded. Okay? Yielded. It has the idea of strength under character. Alluded to this last time, but let me put a little flesh on it. A fellow by the name of J. Wallace Hamilton wrote a book that was entitled Ride the Wild Horse. And he points out in that book that when God created us, put us together, he gave us certain drives in our nature. He gave us certain instincts, and he gave us certain ambitions. Those things are not evil in themselves, but all of them, our drives and our instincts and our ambitions, need to be yielded to the power of God. He pointed out that the idea of meekness carries the same idea of a wild horse being broken. In times past, and I think in places even today, an animal, and especially a horse that's been trained so somebody can ride it, or it can pull a plow, the term that they use for that horse is that it's been meeked. It's been meeked. In other words, it's been broken. It will yield to a rider. It will yield to a yoke to pull a plow. It is tremendous strength that's under control, and that's what meekness is. Meekness is a compliant spirit. These Beatitudes come in order. I used to think, I'd read the Beatitudes, and there were people who were poor in spirit, and there were people who mourned, and there were people who were... No, what he's talking about is Christian character for all of us, and they are in order. We've got to do these things in order for them to be a fact in our lives, and it makes a lot of sense when we look at it like that. The first one says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Because, you see, poorness of spirit shows the condition that we're in. How many of you know that spiritually we're just bankrupt? There's no way we're going to get ourselves to heaven. There's not really anything we can do for God. He doesn't need anything that we got. We are literally bankrupt. Blessed are they that mourn, because after we discover our spiritual condition, then there's contriteness that follows. You see, God, have mercy on me because I see what I am and I grieve over it because you're the only one that can help me out of this. Then after that condition and contrition, then comes this word, control. Ain't nobody going to control me, boy. I'll do as I please. Yeah, you can. You can do as you please, but I guarantee you will never be blessed. That's just the way God put it together, you see. When I take myself and say, Lord, I'm going to put myself under your control. I know, I realize you can do a lot better job than I can, and so I'm going to put myself under your control. That will make me meek. It will not make me weak. It just means that I got a new master. There's probably a whole bunch of us in here today who need a new master. Did you know it? Because the old one hadn't been doing so hot. I think I heard an amen, oh me somewhere. Is that right? Okay. So a horse that's been meeked is still as strong as it was, still has the same drive and instincts, but now that horse is wearing a bridle, perhaps a saddle. Hamilton talked about different ways that you could deal with a wild or untamed horse. The first way is to just let him run wild. Just let him do whatever he wants to and to run wild. And I'd like to remind you that we got a whole generation of folks today that adheres to that. I'll do as I please, I'll do what I want to, and they're just running wild all over this world. You watch television lately? then you know what I'm talking about. There is no restraint. See, there is none. There is no self-assertion. Let the horse run. This is what we hear. You young guys at the back listening to this, you've heard it. Whatever's natural is beautiful. And whatever is beautiful must be right. So I can just do my thing, whatever I feel like doing. That's called self-assertion. That's called not putting any kind of restraint on yourself. It's like this. If you want to get drunk, go ahead and get drunk. If you want to fornicate, go ahead and fornicate. If you want to fight, go ahead and fight. There is no self-restraint. Do you know one of the chief apostles of that particular philosophy in the 19th and the 20th century was a fellow by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. And he influenced this world a whole lot more than we might realize. Nietzsche was a student of Nietzsche was Adolf Hitler. So let me tell you what Nietzsche said about letting the horses run wild. Nietzsche said, and I'm going to quote him, "Get rid of your pious priests and their weak-livered gospel of mercy. Purge out your souls. Purge out your souls with this disease of Christianity. Progress depends on the strong man, and the strong man therefore must be strong. Assert yourself. Be a Superman." Now, when Hitler read that, he said, "That's right. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a super race." The result was the Holocaust. A war that many of our loved ones went through. Just let them run wild. Don't have any self-restraint. Do your thing, and the devil take the hindmost. Now, you see, there's just the opposite of that. And it's not self-release, but it's self-restraint. Because there are some folks in this world who want to let the horse run wild, but there are other folks in this world who want to cripple the horse. They want to hobble it so it can't run at all. Now, Eastern religion, that's called Buddhism. I mean, you've seen one of those little fat Buddhists sitting there with a placid look on his face. You see, and that's the philosophy of that. And it's this. That thing that's causing you difficulty is because you have certain desires. And you get frustrated because those desires are not being met. So what you got to do is forget about those desires. Just put them out of your mind. You need to dampen that spirit until you come to the place where you don't desire anything anymore, and then your mind will come to a state called nirvana. Baloney. That's just hogwash. Pure and simple. And it's certainly not biblical Christianity. It's no more biblical Christianity than it is to just let the horses run wild. So you don't let them run, and you don't cripple them. But there are other folks who think, well, I guess the thing to do would just check into a monastery somewhere and put on a robe, sit around, and chant, and that'll make me holy. How many of y'all know there's not any holiness in a hole? There's just not. Jesus is not saying that's what we ought to do. Let the horses run wild, cripple the horses. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. So put this verse down in your margin, if you would. Romans 6:19. Paul says, for as you have yielded your members, and he says members, he's talking about your hands and your feet and your tongue and your eyes, and all those particular parts of your body, as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity. Did you hear that? Unto iniquity. That means you've been yielded to Satan. So listen. Even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. That word you needed to hear was yield. Did you hear it? Yield yourselves. That's the word that meek means. Strength under control. It's the same members. It's the same eyes. It's the same mouth, hands, or whatever. But now instead of using your tongue to blaspheme, you'll use your tongue to praise God. You'll still have your ambition, but your ambition will be to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You might even still be a fighter, but who you'll be fighting is the devil, and that's a whole lot more productive. Amen? Amen. See, it's the same strength. God doesn't hobble the horse. He energizes it. But along comes a bridle with the meekness. Blessed are those who have yielded. This would be a good time for me to ask this question. Have you ever yielded yourself to the control of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you done that? Actually, it's the one thing we don't want to do. But it's the one thing that we need more than anything else. The pastor who was driving down the street late one night and saw a guy staggering around out there in the road, and as he looked closer, he knew who he was. And so he pulled over and he got the guy in his car. And he said, "Son, I'm going to take you home." And he drove him back to his house. Brought him in the house, and his mom and dad were rather embarrassed that the pastor had brought their son home drunk. They took him in and put him to bed. And as pastor started to leave, the man said, "I need to talk with you for just a minute." He said, "I'm really embarrassed that you brought my son home drunk." But he said, "The truth of the matter is, he's not the only drunk in this house." He said, "I'm a drunk too. And I really don't know what to say to the boy. I'd be a terrible hypocrite if I tried to tell him not to be a drunk." Preacher said, "Well, why don't you quit drinking?" He said, "You won't believe this. I've tried. But I really hate liquor. I hate it with all my heart. But," he said, "I can't stop. I just can't stop. I don't have what it takes. I can't stop." Pastor called him by name. He said, "Fred, did you ever drive a team of horses?" And he was an older man, and he had. He said, "Yes." Well, he said, "Fred, if you were driving a team of horses and they were getting away from you and you were afraid for your life and you couldn't rein them in, but sitting next to you on the wagon seat was a guy who really could control those horses, what would you do?" He said, "That's easy. I'd hand the reins to him." Now y'all listen. He said, "Fred, that's the only thing you can do. Just simply say, 'Lord Jesus, I cannot do this. Here are the reins. I'm going to give them to you.'" You see, those horses are strong, and there's not but one in this universe who can actually control them. He didn't want to let them run wild. He doesn't want to cripple them. But you see, what he wants is strength that's under control. And that's the meaning of meekness. Now, let's not only look at the definition, but let's see how you can develop meekness. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek." Where in the world do you get meekness? Well, I told you, there's a sequence. Now pay attention to the sequence because it's so important. If Satan is up to what he usually is and our old natures are acting like they usually do, this is about the time we find to tune out. Just tune out. It's easy, isn't it? We can think about what we're going to do this afternoon, or we can think about what we did yesterday, but we just tune out and we never hear, "How can it get done?" See? Now don't fall for that, because that's what he's busy doing. Remember, the first thing you have to do is see yourself as poor in spirit. absolutely bankrupt. I want to see a show of hands. How many folks here today, if it were left up to you, could get yourself to heaven? How many of you could do something to earn heaven? Huh? How many of you could bless God so much that he'd just say, man, I want to populate heaven with you? Huh? Any no hands? Well, of course not. You have to see yourself as poor in spirit, absolutely bankrupt, unable to do anything for yourself spiritually. The second thing is you become brokenhearted over that fact. Blessed are they that mourn. You grieve over that fact. Now, let me tell you the truth here. If you've never been broken, you're never going to be blessed. Can you say that with me? If you've never been broken, you're never going to be blessed. You're never going to be meek in other ways. So a meek horse is one that has been broken. Sometimes we sit in church and we're unbent and we're unbroken about our life condition. And we walk out the door never seeing our bankruption, our bankrupt condition, never even mourning over our sin, and so we manage to never yield our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're ready to yield your life to the Lord Jesus this morning, I'm going to give you three steps as to how you can develop meekness. Am I in the right place? Is this what you want to know? Okay, it'll take a little of your time this morning, you see, and I'm just warning you. Let's see what the Lord has to say to us. The first thing you got to do is submit yourself to the Lord God. I mean, submit yourself, not part of yourself, not a piece of yourself, not whatever it is you're willing to give up, but just commit yourself to Christ. That could be a pretty long list, couldn't it? Of stuff we'd rather have and not give to the Lord. So submit yourself to the Son of God. So I want you to write down these verses in your Bible or whatever you might happen to be writing on. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus is saying this, and he's saying this to you. So listen to him. Listen to him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. A yoke. You know, that's what they put a couple of oxen together under a yoke so that they could pull together to plow. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek. Now, I want you to see that. See? I am meek, he said, and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What you have here is a picture of two oxen that are pulling together. Got the yoke on one and then the other. These two oxen are side by side, are pulling together. Now, Jesus is saying by that word picture, I want you to take my yoke upon you. So it's not only just you anymore, but it's you and Jesus. Are you following me here? You're in this yoke together. Whenever the yoke is on two oxen, one of those oxen is called the lead ox. And in this case, it's always Jesus. He's always the lead. So he says, if you want to follow me, take my yoke upon you and learn of me because my yoke is easy. When he says my yoke is easy, he means that it fits right. You see, listen, Christianity is not something that you have to do. Listen, folks. Christianity is something you get to do. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. I mean, God loves you so incredibly that he's saying to you, come on, my yoke is easy. Get in here with me. Oh, folks say, it's too hard to be a Christian. I can't be a Christian. That's a lie. That's just a lie. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, if you want to straighten that out. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Does that mean you don't have to pull anymore? No, not at all. You're going to have to do some work. There's plenty of work to do. He didn't say, my yoke is lazy. He said, my yoke is something you need to take on you and learn of me. So if you want to be meek, the first decision you have to make is to commit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? He made an irrevocable commitment to go to that cross and die for our sins. Irrevocable. And I think it demands an irrevocable commitment on our part to follow Christ. Aren't you glad he didn't come down off of that cross, but he was committed to our salvation? So, Jesus is not going to force himself on anybody. It's just not going to happen if you're waiting around for that experience. But he won't force himself on anybody. In just a few minutes, I'm going to close this message and issue an invitation. I'm going to ask you to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will be up to you whether you will do that or not. He will not force you to accept him. You do have the right to say no if you want to. There are not enough angels in heaven or out of heaven to keep you from coming and answering that invitation. But there are not enough angels in heaven or out of heaven to force you to come either. There aren't enough demons in hell or out of hell to keep you from coming. And I guarantee you, there's not a preacher in this world that can make you accept Christ as your Savior. Now, if he could, it wouldn't do you any good. See? Anything that I can talk you into, somebody else can talk you out of. Do you know that? Yeah. You have to make a decision. You have to make a decision to take the yoke of Christ. But guess what? You're the one who has to make that decision. Refuse it if you want to. It's your privilege. I could literally tear my heart out of my chest and beg you to come to Christ if that were possible. But it's not possible. And you're going to have to be the one who makes that decision. You're going to have to learn of him. Decision time comes on us. Let me assure you, Jesus is not saying, I want you to come to a denomination. He's not talking about churchianity here. He's not talking about some creed. He's just saying, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Don't let the devil get you to thinking negatively about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said the way to blessedness is meekness, and that's the way to inherit the earth. So first of all, you've got to be submitted to the Son of God. Now listen, if you want to be meek today, you're also going to have to be responsive to the Word of God. Responsive. Listen to James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all of your filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive. You see that word receive? James 1:21, and receive with meekness. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Your soul is the psyche. Receive with meekness. So what is meekness? It's submission to a higher power. Not only must you receive the Son of God, you must also respond to the Word of God. Receive with meekness. Let the Word of God be your control. You see, that's like a bridle in a bit. And we go where God tells us to go, and we do what God tells us to do. You receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your soul. Think about that word receive with me for just a moment. Because there are two Greek words that are translated as receive. The first word is the word lambano. And it's a sort of self-prompted taking. It's a sort of grasping. It's reaching out and snatching. And you know, there are some people who think that they can learn the Bible that way. They say, well, I'm just going to study the Bible. And so they gather around them all these tools that they need to study the Bible. And they get a pen and a legal pad and they sit down and they're going to study the Bible. You know, that doesn't work. That just simply doesn't work. You're not going to learn the Bible. You might learn some facts from the Bible, but you're not going to learn God's Word until you receive it with meekness, being committed to Christ. You're just not going to get it. You can know all the names of the kings of Israel. You can know the Bible in chronological order. You can know all of that, but that doesn't mean that you've received the Word. What you've done is lambano. That's why I mentioned that word. You've gotten into the Word of God to try to snatch out some truth for whatever reason. Maybe to show off to other people. Maybe to show yourself as some teacher. But you will not know the Word of God because your spirit has never been broken. Letting that sink in. Another word for receive is the word dunamai. I'm sorry, it's dekamai. Dunamai means power. Dekamai means receive. And that's exactly the word that's used here. So what does it mean? It means to receive with humility. With humility. To welcome. Not to take, but to receive. So ask yourself this question. Have I ever really received the Word of God to welcome it into my life? When you sit down to read the Bible and study the Bible, are you prepared to do everything it tells you to do at that point? Not just to read it to decide whether you agree with it or not, or whether you're going to make up your mind whether you think something is right or whether it's wrong or whether it's interesting or it's not interesting. Let me tell you, the Bible was never given to us to be interesting. It was given to us to be disturbing. And it will disturb you. Now, I'm told that among the most hospitable people in this world are the Chinese. You're never allowed to come into a Chinese home without you being served something. And you should never come into a Chinese home without receiving something from their hand. When they bring out the refreshment, whatever it is, tea or whatever, you never reach out with one hand to receive it. You take it with both hands and you bow slightly. That's being polite with the Chinese, and that's how they offer it to you. To reach out with one hand is thought of as being grasping. But to reach out with both hands is thought of as being receiving. Now I want us to do something here right now, okay? Close your eyes. Bow your head. Don't want you staring around to see what everybody else is doing. Now would you just in your mind's eye let go of this world with both hands? Just let go of it. Whatever it is, maybe you just got a hold of it with one hand. Let go of it with that one. Let go with both hands. Just let go. But now, would you reach out to Jesus Christ with both hands? Just reach out to Christ with both hands. Yeah. As you study the Word of God, receive with meekness the engrafted Word that's able to save your soul. And we learn that through the Word of God, He puts a bridle and bit on us. He does. The horses won't run wild. They won't be crippled. They will be controlled. All right. Not only to receive Jesus and submit to Jesus as the Son of God, not only to bring your life in, to receive the Word of God, but we've also, in order to achieve meekness, are you listening? Look right up here. We must be filled with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:21-22 contains a list that's called the fruit of the Spirit. And in that list of the fruit of the Spirit is this word we're looking at today, meekness. When you say, Lord Jesus, I want you to put your yoke on me. When you say to the Word of God, I receive you with meekness. And when you say to the Spirit of God, I want you to work in me and fill me and work through me. Then the Holy Spirit of God produces meekness. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You and I cannot produce that fruit. All we can do is bear it. It's produced by the Holy Spirit. And then we begin to walk in the Spirit. And there will be that meekness in our heart, in our life. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, there's a dynamic to this as well. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wow. Did you ever have one of those daydreams? Boy, I wish I had a rich relative to leave me $1 million. Somebody I never heard of or whatever. And boy, and all of a sudden, I woke up poor and I went to bed rich. Wouldn't that be great? You know, we've all kind of dreamed of having that sort of inheritance. There's a guy sitting on the curb in the street, and he's just bawling his eyes out, and the guy said, what are you crying for? Well, he said, I just heard that Rockefeller, the richest guy in the world, died. I said, what are you crying? You're not a relative. He said, that's why I'm crying. Well, I guess that's a good reason. But we sort of dream about having an inheritance. Well, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's a dynamic. But what does it mean? Well, you're never going to have this full inheritance without meekness. A man who cannot control himself or be controlled by the Spirit of God is never satisfied. Did that stop in your brain? He's never satisfied. And there's some wonderful verses about this. What does the Lord mean when He says that we're going to inherit the earth? It's talking about now, and it's talking about in the hereafter. In the sweet here and now, and, you know, in the sweet by and by, and the nasty now and now. We're going to inherit the earth. So how do we inherit the earth right now? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 says, let no man glory in men. Kind of hard to do these days when you see a pro athlete knocking down $70 million a year, you know, for 3 or 4 months worth of effort. I wish I was that guy, huh? Be this guy, you know. It's kind of hard not to do that. So it says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. What? Huh? All things are yours. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that all things are yours? I certainly hope so, because it's in the Word of God, and that sure makes it so. Say, well, you know, maybe I believe that in my head, but it never has really got down into my heart. Well, all things are yours, and we are Christ, and Christ is God's. Leave that in your mind for a second. I'm going to 2 Corinthians 6:10. 10, talking about inheriting the earth. And he says there, again, all things are yours. In 2 Corinthians 6:10, as powerful, yet always rejoicing, as poor. Now, that doesn't sound like I've inherited the earth, does it? As poor, making many rich. So here's the key. As having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Doesn't matter what you have if you don't have blessedness. You can't enjoy, because blessed does not come in things. And it doesn't matter that you don't have, if you don't have, or if you have blessedness, because you have everything. Kind of strange. I was thinking, what can the devil do to a person like that? He says right here that all things belong to us, they're ours, and yet is having nothing, and yet possessing all things. So, the devil comes to you. And how does the Bible say he comes? As a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Or he'll come to you as an angel of light to entice you. So let's think about him coming to us, first of all, as a roaring lion. And he says, you know what? If you don't follow me, I'm going to take everything you got. I am going to strip you clean. But you, as a believer, can say, devil, you can't take anything from me because I don't have anything. Huh? Isn't that right? I don't have anything. It's what it says here. I have nothing. So how are you going to take something from me when I don't have anything? Devil thinks that over. Well, that isn't working. So I'll come to you as a roaring lion. You know, instead of a roaring lion, I'll come as an angel of light. If you follow me, he says, I'm going to give you this, and I'll give you this, and I'll give you this. And you say, well, devil, how can you give me anything? I already have everything. What's he going to do? It says, as possessing nothing and yet having all things, what in the world can the devil do to a person like that? All things are yours. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, not only in this life, but certainly in the life to come. We've prayed that prayer many times. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. And there is coming a time when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And Jesus will reign where the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom spread from shore to shore till moon shall wax and wane no more, and the branches shall bend down with fruit. The plains will wave with grain. The lamb and the lion will lie down together, and the saints will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Folks, he didn't make all this for the devil and his crowd. He did not. He made it for his people, and he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, what side are you on? What side have you chosen to be on? Well, I want to light up on the side of the meek. I want that to be my side. I want to see myself as spiritually bankrupt and broken and destitute. And I want to grieve over it. I want to do that. But then I want to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I am yielding myself to you because I choose to do so, because I want to do so. I am taking your yoke upon me. I believe your word. I'm going to be led by your Spirit. And by golly, I'll inherit the earth. Father God, thank you so much for your word and for all you provided for us. We praise you for it, and we love you for it. But now, Lord, we've come to a time where we ask you to just send your Holy Spirit among us and convict us of our sin and our wrongdoing, and draw us to you. And I just pray this morning there'll be those who will submit to your yoke and receive you into their lives. Thank you for being our Father and our Lord. Thank you for everything you provided for us, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now look, in the back of those pews is a green sheet of paper. It's a half sheet. And if you decided this morning that you're going to just submit yourself to the Lord, if you're going to yield to Him, if you're going to find out what this meekness thing is all about, I want you to take one of those green sheets, put your name and address and telephone number on there, because in just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer and we're going to ask Christ into our hearts. Maybe this will be the first time you've ever done that. That's what this is for. And then you can check at the bottom of that sheet. I've prayed the prayer for the first time to receive Christ. And the other one that says, I'd like to speak with a pastor. Check that one too. Leave it on the seat where you are. Bring it to me if you'd like. Or hand it to somebody you know as a church member. They'll see that I get it. But that's all we're asking you today. But right now, at this moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. So, church, you know how we do this. We're going to pray out loud. And this is your opportunity to pray aloud, but talk to God, not to me, not to anybody around you. Just talk to the Lord and say these things to Him. Heavenly Father, I'm a lost sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now all you have to do is fill that out, put it down, and we'll be in touch with you and talk to you about that decision and that prayer that you prayed today, okay? If there's anything else on your mind, on your heart, that you'd like to talk about recommitting your life to Christ, if you'd like to talk about becoming a member of Circle J Cowboy Church, fill out one of those sheets and make sure that I get it, would you? And we'll follow up on that as well. Now, over the past 2 or 3 months, I've been talking to one of the sweet ladies here in the church. And she knows that she's accepted Christ as her personal Savior. That's her testimony. She wants to be a part of Circle J Cowboy Church. But she has a handicap. I guess that's all right to say handicap these days, isn't it? And that's what that is. But I want her to be brought before you today because we're not able to get her into our baptistry. The stairs are too steep. Okay? It's too hard. But boy, her heart's in that. And I want to present her to you today as someone who trusts Christ with all their heart and wants to be a part of this church. Sherry, can you bring Mom up? Now, let me tell you, Ms. Barker is not somebody who enjoys being in the limelight. So I promised her that we'd do just as little of that as we possibly could. But you see, she's coming forward as a testimony of her salvation. And I told you, Ms. Barker, that I was going to ask you a question, didn't I? Let's get that right ear up here where you hear me. Okay. Ms. Barker, do you know that Jesus Christ is living in your heart?
Yes.
And in case you didn't hear that, that was a definite yes. And your desire is to be a part of Circle J Cowboy Church. Is that not also true?
Yes.
All right. The members of the church family, do we say yes to this lady and welcome her with open arms? Yes, we do. And may I be the first to welcome you. Okay. If you don't mind, we'll have your daughter back there at that entrance thing as folks are going out, because I know they'd like to hug your neck and shake your hand. Is that okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. Thank y'all so much. Mr. Combs, been a joy to have you here today. If you'd like to go ahead and take your place back there as well to receive that offering. Tell the guys over at the camp hi for us, will you? And how much we appreciate what they do in coming. Diane, you want to go with him, or are you just going to stay there? Okay, whatever you want to do. We're glad you came too as well. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to you for this time to come together in fellowship and praise and study of your word. And I want to thank you for any decisions that have been made here today. And Lord, I pray that your word will enrich and bless the lives of folks who've heard it. We love you because you first loved us. We give you praise and glory and honor in all of these things. And we thank you that we're able to pray to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's in his name we pray. Amen.